Carolina Panthers, more reports that they might be interested in the veteran quarterback market after all. Baker Mayfield, Jimmy Garoppolo, we'll get into those reports and our safety rankings. My safety rankings. We'll see how Croc feels about my NFL draft safety rankings for 2022. Coming up right now.
You are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers. Brian Peacock and Eric Crocker at the Peacock at Eric underscore Crocker. Thanks for making us your first listen here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. Today's episode brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Bet Online, where the game starts. Maybe we could even. Because I kind of want you and I to come together and make one official, like have a war room conversation, right? With our safety or with positional rankings and try to come to an agreement on one. Because it's what happens because coaches, scouts, GMs, they don't agree all the time, right? You got to have those arguments. Right. It's not just my list and your list. I feel like we should hash that out and make our list, Croc, the Locked On 49ers NFL rankings. Do you think we can pull that off?
100%. I mean, come on now. Look who we are. We are the draft gurus. And I mean, you're the GM. I'm the head of scouting director. Yeah, we got this.
That's right. That reminds me, there's multiple questions because we did our mock where I was GM and we're supposed to flip hats where I'm your assistant and you are the GM going through a 7-round mock draft. And we got to do that and come close. We only got 10 days until it's draft. Later on the week, we got George Shahuri of Pro Football Focus joining us. Larry Kruger, who's all about the late round draft picks, is going to join us as well. And that'll be a fun conversation because he's all about it. Like he's scouting the Coastal Carolinas and the Florida Atlantics, right? That Kruger's all about the late round prospects. So we'll get into some of those things later on in the week as well. But first, let's get into Jimmy Garoppolo. Could he be a Carolina Panther on draft night? This is why the 49ers haven't cut Jimmy G. And this is one of those paths that we were talking about. And it's lying season too, Croc. So I want to break this down and then we can try to figure out, okay, what's the truth and what's the lie on this, right? So you're looking at the Carolina Panthers who have the sixth pick in the draft. Clearly, they could potentially draft a quarterback. They could potentially trade down and draft a quarterback. They could potentially draft an offensive tackle. That's the biggest need. There could be some really good value for them at number six at offensive tackle, probably, you know, taking positional value out of things. Offensive tackle might be a better player than a quarterback there for them at number six. Or they could go to the veteran quarterback market, and the two biggest names on the market there are Baker Mayfield and Jimmy Garoppolo. So those are all plausible circumstances, right? And they maybe have a list of how they like those circumstances to happen for the Carolina Panthers. But now reports are coming out, and this is lying season, Croc. That's why we have to make sure we try to figure out where these reports are coming from, what's making sense, what's actually more likely. Could Jimmy Garoppolo end up with the Carolina Panthers? And I want to go to multiple reports here that are coming out about the Panthers in multiple directions. To start the weekend, it was Baker Mayfield was the report, right? And the first thing I heard was a Baker Mayfield report, and it was from Ian Rappaport saying the most likely landing spot for Baker Mayfield is the Carolina Panthers. And then Mary Kay Cabot, who reports for not the Panthers, but the Cleveland Browns, said that the Panthers have the inside track on Baker Mayfield. So when I heard that to me was, hey, 49ers, lower your asking price for Jimmy Garoppolo, right? That's what I hear during lying season is whatever's not mentioned is actually the point of these reports coming out. Or the other side of it is if it's coming out of Cleveland is trying to tell people, hey, the Panthers are giving us an offer. Hey, Seattle, better your offer for Baker Mayfield. So I'm hearing the opposite. So I actually don't think Baker Mayfield and Carolina is a connection.
I like the way you think with that. I like the way you kind of work that out. And you're right. Right, this is lying season, and a lot of it is jockeying for position, whether it's lying about things that you're interested in the draft or maybe the quarterback situation, which is really, you know, the most important position on the field, and the Panthers are clearly trying to figure that out.
Here's and there's so many angles to this. We could do probably two podcasts just on trying to figure out what teams are lying about and what teams are telling the truth about. And certainly they could be. This could be absolutely the truth, and they're calling the Browns about Baker Mayfield. It makes perfect sense. And maybe they're just doing their homework on everybody at the same time, and that's where all these reports are coming out. Maybe they just want to make sure, depending on what happens in the draft, because maybe they could trade down, and then maybe teams trade up them and get quarterbacks. You know, so there's a lot of things that can happen. They want to have their ducks in a row and know what their options are and how they like those things. And then Sunday, there's more reports. And then they're about, I think maybe some Saturday reports too, from the John Alexander, who is, I believe he covered, not for The Athletic, I think it's for the Charlotte Observer, covers the Carolina Panthers. He said that he believes Carolina drafting a quarterback is a smokescreen and that the team has interest in 49ers quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo, right? So here's the other thing now. If the Panthers are leaking information about either Baker Mayfield or Jimmy Garoppolo or both now, they're trying to calm teams down that are trying to trade up in front of them to draft a quarterback because they really want to draft a quarterback, right? Again, it's the thing that's not mentioned is the thing that the team is really wanting to do. So if the team is leaking Jimmy's name out there, that means they're telling teams, hey, don't worry about us. We're not going to draft the quarterback. We're going to get a veteran. And then nobody trades up in front of number six, then they draft the quarterback, right? So with all and it goes on. There's more and more reports about all these things. Let's see. From The Athletic, Joe Person says that Mayfield is not the only guy on the list for them, hinting that Jimmy Garoppolo is still in play for the Carolina Panthers. There is a report that the Panthers are meeting with both Charles Cross and Ikem Ekwonu next week, having them both in on a 30 visit, I think on the same day. So that's really interesting. They want to see them on the same day, maybe even compete with each other, like in a little mini combine scenario. I don't know what they actually do in those visits with draft picks, because I think the draft picks work out so much. I don't know if they actually do on-field work for teams, or they're just meeting with them and they want to have interviews with them back-to-back.
I think both. Yeah. I think sometimes it's just meeting. Sometimes it's see them on the field as well.
And then we've got reports from Albert Breer, his latest sources, and this is just a little bit ago before we started recording here on Sunday, that the Panthers are going to have, so that was the Ikem Ekwonu and Charles Cross report. And he goes on to say, if one of the top three offensive tackles slips to six, Carolina could take one, then shop for a veteran quarterback. Panthers had six quarterbacks in last week. So it's not just they're looking at one or two guys. They could be looking at some other guys. And I think for the Panthers, if I had to guess what they want to happen most, the Panthers would want to trade down first. And I think almost every team in the top 10 would like to trade down and will be listening to offers, because the Panthers don't have a second or third round pick this year. So if they can't do that, they have to stick at six and draft the player. And Kroc, just, I know there's been so much talk about quarterbacks, and I know there's the Kenny Pickett connection with Matt Rhule, and David Tepper is a Pitt guy. And a lot of people really like the upside of Malik Willis, but just thinking about this for you as a scout, watching these players, doesn't it make a lot more sense for the Carolina Panthers to draft Ekwonu or Neal or Cross at number six, and then Thursday night, see if they can get a deal with one of these other veteran quarterbacks?
That's the angle I would take. Now, the tough thing is here, you know, they don't have a second or third round pick, as you mentioned. So, you know, ideally, love that word, ideally. Ideally, you would like to go, you know, a position player, like you said, like Ekwonu or Cross or one of those guys, Ekwonu or Cross. And then second round, be like, okay, let's see which one of these quarterbacks is here, because how big of a gap is it between maybe a Malik Willis, Desmond Ritter, even if he even goes first round, or Kenny Pickett. And then in the next round, maybe you have Sam Howell, quarterback Matt Corral. You know, like, I don't know if there's that much of a gap, but they don't have that second round pick. So that kind of hurts them. And I think I would still lean more towards, like, you know, what's on the line here. And if you look at Matt Rhule, I believe his job is on the line. Like, if he doesn't have a winning season, he is fired. And they have solid players in place on both sides of the ball. Now it's just, can we shore up this offensive line and get a guy like Jimmy Garoppolo or Baker Mayfield? And maybe it costs you a future pick, right? Like, I think for either one of those guys, and maybe, I mean, we don't know. What's the asking price for Jimmy Garoppolo? Maybe it's a fourth round pick, and you're like, all right, we'll give that up this year. Or maybe you say, you know what, won't give you a fourth this year, but we'll give you a third. We'll give you a fifth this year and a third next year. And I'm pretty sure the 49ers will be like, done, take them. Now, then there's the, like, money aspect of it. Because Sam Darnold, he's guaranteed $18 million. And then obviously you have Jimmy Garoppolo, who his cap is like 27 or something like that. So that brings a whole different dynamic into it. Do you ask the 49ers to eat some of Jimmy Garoppolo's cap, maybe $10 million? Because if you lower his money to about, you know, $17-18 million, which would be what Sam Darnold's getting, then we're talking about $36 million total for two quarterbacks, which still, I mean, guys like Kirk Cousins making more than that.
Yep.
So
that's the money part is what gets really difficult because of the Darnold thing. So in a way, because, and it's funny because Baker Mayfield has the same contract, right? He's got that fifth year option, $18 million guaranteed. They were a couple picks apart in that same draft in 2018. So Mayfield's cheaper than Jimmy. So does the money work better there if they're able to get the Panthers or to get the Browns to pay a little bit of money? So maybe does that make more sense? But they have some cap space. They've been working out getting some cap space. They've still got to have some maneuvering room, sign draft picks, but they've worked to about $30 million under the cap. So they can do some things. And I still think the thing that makes sense to me is you trade Darnold as part of the package for Jimmy Garoppolo, get the Niners to pay half, and then boom.
Well,
boom.
Yeah. And to me, just the way I think about it, forget this money. We'll figure that out. Who's going to be the best quarterback for us? Not best discount quarterback for us. Let's go with Baker Mayfield because he's a few million dollars cheaper, but then on the back end, it costs us wins. I mean, he's a guy who played with a loaded roster for Cleveland Browns and was able to squeak out, one playoff win, I believe, against the Steelers a couple years ago. So, and then couldn't even beat the Kansas City Chiefs when their Patrick Mahomes went down and they couldn't win that game. So, like, to me, give me at least a guy who I know if the things are better around him with, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo, well, he does win games. You know, if you have a good running game, okay, I got Christian McCaffrey. You have a good passing game, okay, I got DJ Moore. I got Moore and whatever, Terrace Marshall and whatever. Oh, okay, got some defensive guys, Brian Burns and, you know, Shaq Thompson, whoever. Like, the secondary is going to be loaded, you know, still with, you know, you got J.C. Horn coming back. You got, on the other side, Taylor coming back. They brought back Jackson. I mean, Jeremy Chin, the safety. Yeah. So, I mean, to me, it makes sense to bring in a guy like Jimmy Garoppolo, even if it's like, all right, let's extend him 3 years and move some money around. There's a way that they can manipulate the cap a little bit, bring him in, kind of rip up what he currently has, give him some guaranteed money and a 3 year contract. And during that time, you can try to see if you can find more of a long term answer. But I don't want to. And he's a likable guy. His teammates love him. He's a great leader. I think you need more so that than, oh, well, let's get Baker Mayfield because he's a few million dollars cheaper. But he's a headache. People don't like him. Your receivers are already speaking out against him.
Yeah.
Robbie Anderson.
I'm going to get more on that because we got to get moving here, and there's more to this story. So I want to talk a little bit more about that, how some of those Carolina Panthers players feel about potentially bringing in one of those veteran quarterbacks and why that would make more sense for the 49ers in this scenario that's ultimately the worst for the 49ers that could also happen very soon. And maybe something needs to happen before the draft with these teams that really sets things off with the veteran quarterback market of the guys who are available. More on that next. And we will go into the Locked On 49ers war room, try to hammer out a safety ranking for the 2022 NFL draft. Next, how about Bet Online? Where will those safeties get selected? Where will Kyle Hamilton get selected? I already put a little bit of money on the under, by the way, the over of where Kyle Hamilton would get selected. That was when the number was at 6.5. I think that number might have climbed recently. Still a good prospect. And if I'm not mistaken, not even Croc's number one safety in this class. Can he convince me of that in the war room when we put these safety rankings together? But you can find all the latest sports developments, not only NFL draft props, but league reviews, news, football futures, basketball, NBA playoffs, Major League Baseball at Bet Online, your number one source for all your betting stats and sports information. Bet Online is your continued source, not just for sports wagering, which it is the best and where you want to go for putting down your cash and making your bets. There's live betting, there's playoffs, there's esports, and yeah, all that information to go along with it. You don't want to just throw away your money blindly. Find some info and some trends that are happening in these sports before you put down that money. So learn something first, then make an educated bet. Get over to the website today or use your mobile device at BetOnline, where the game starts. Thanks for making Locked On 49ers your first listen every day. Starting Thursday, April 28th, in the first round of the NFL Draft, tune into Locked On NFL Draft's live coverage featuring Eric Crocker of the 2022 NFL Draft with all 3 days of real-time analysis from our extensive lineup of experts and insiders. And for those of you dying to know who your team will take, catch the Odyssey and Locked On NFL Mock Draft Ultimate Special, hosted by yours truly, Brian Peacock, and my Peacock and Williamson co-host, former NFL scout and college scout Matt Williamson. That is leading all week up to the first pick, and that starts Monday. And a lot of you listen to this podcast, go start that ultimate mock draft that is available for your listening pleasure, and you listen all the way to the end. Even though the Niners don't have a first round pick, you will hear who goes number 61 as chosen by Brian Peacock and Eric Crocker. And we're gonna use that Locked On 49ers war room ranking, right, when we try to figure those things out. Okay, Jimmy G and Baker Mayfield. So I think you nailed it. Get the best quarterback, right? That's what every team should be doing. And maybe they think that's in the draft. Maybe they think that's the veteran quarterback. Maybe ultimately why I say the Panthers, if they wanted to move down, would be their number one option, because they could move down, add picks that would help them get a veteran quarterback. Let's say they move down from six, get a couple of day two picks for that. Now they can still draft an offensive tackle in round one. And now they can spend one of those extra picks on Jimmy in the future and draft themselves maybe Matt Corral in the second round, you know, or something like that. So you could go all those directions at once. And drafting a quarterback this year doesn't, I don't think, preclude you from also adding a veteran quarterback. So a lot of ways things could go, but it's really funny to see the reports out there. And this was after the first Rappaport report about Sam Darnold, and that the Panthers had the inside track on Sam Darnold. And one of those Panthers receivers, Robbie Anderson, just responded, "No," which is hilarious. I don't know what it is. And you know, people talk to each other and players talk to each other behind the scenes, because Baker Mayfield's been, you know, kind of an ass sometimes, I guess, but not like nothing crazy. I wonder if there's more to it, and that it's gotten around and players are like, I do not want to play with that guy.
Well, Odell Beckham clearly had some sort of an issue with him, and he didn't put him on Front Street, but Odell's dad did, which essentially is coming from Odell Beckham. Jarvis Landry, he got up out of there. Like, there is something. And then you hear something like that with Robbie Anderson, where I'm pretty sure a lot of these receivers, you know, it's kind of a fraternity a little bit, where a lot of guys speak to each other. And yeah, there's definitely something to it. I will say this. Here's the interesting part to it. I think Baker Mayfield, just from a talent perspective, he's more talented than Jimmy Garoppolo, but he's not better than Jimmy Garoppolo. You know, if you just, you know, watch him make certain throws, it's like, well, Jimmy, it looks a little different, right? The way the ball comes out of his hands adds a little bit more athleticism than Jimmy. Not like he's, you know, super athlete or anything like that, but he's not as good as Jimmy. So that's the part, too, that you have to kind of fight with. Like, gosh, can I get a little bit more out of Baker? Or is this what he's always going to be? We know what Jimmy Garoppolo is. I think the tough thing is with that is you just took a risk on something like that with Sam Darnold, who is probably a little bit more talented than Garoppolo, but he's not better than him. And you swung and you missed. So now is your opportunity to get a guy that it will bring some stability to the offense.
And I will say that taking back all of Sam Darnold's $18 million salary doesn't make it worth it for the 49ers for, you know, a future third or even a future second round pick. Cause you're, it would probably be more worthwhile for the 49ers just to get rid of $25 million off the cap than to take 18 back and get a future pick. It would have to be a pretty good pick to want to take $18 million back and lock yourself into that money this year. So
you'd be better off just asking Jimmy if he'd take a pay cut. Hey, can you take a $10 million pay cut?
That's the other part of how this could all work is Jimmy's agent will obviously be a part of all this too. And you would think Jimmy Garoppolo saying when basically all sides get together and it's like, look, Jimmy, this is your last chance to be a starting quarterback somewhere this year. Is it worth your while to take a little bit less or restructure, push some money into the future, do something to facilitate yourself getting more future value by having another year as a starting quarterback? So I think in that regard, the Panthers could get out of half of Darnold's salary and also get Jimmy's salary lower to make it all work money-wise, even though we're talking about two, you know, pretty highly paid quarterbacks. And then, like you said, they would be in less than Kirk Cousins' zone. with what they're paying at their quarterbacks, and that might be the best scenario of all for them. They could also move around and trade back into round three, grab a quarterback. There's Carson Strong out there. They could use another future pick. You know, that's why moving down for them would be huge, to gain one of those second or third round picks that they don't have this year. Okay, moving on from that stuff. Draft night's going to be fun, even though the 49ers don't have a first round pick. That's the bottom line with that. What about safeties, Croc? Let's talk about safety one first, and in the final segment, we'll try to rank out the rest of those guys, because I think we agree on a lot. I think there's going to be a few disagreements with a couple players. I love Lewis Cine. I think Lewis Cine is fantastic. I think there's a chance he falls out of round one, gets to where the 49ers could trade up. I don't think there's any chance Lewis Cine falls to 61, even though I've seen him in some rankings, not as safety two or three even, and a little bit further down the list from some well-respected evaluators. But Croc, you have Lewis Cine number one, right? And I know I love Lewis Cine, and I know that maybe Kyle Hamilton hasn't proven in workouts that he's a physical freak, even though he's a pretty darn good player, and he's got plenty of play speed, and he's got all that size, 6'4", 220. Do you just love Lewis Cine so much that he's number one, or do you think that Kyle Hamilton is overrated? Because I would still have Hamilton one and Lewis Cine two, even though I do love Lewis Cine.
I think with all of this, it's how does their game translate to the NFL? And do they have certain things that worked well for them in college but might be a little bit more of a hindrance at the NFL level, where teams will take advantage of any shortcomings that you potentially have? So when I look at Kyle Hamilton, one, I am a little biased against defensive backs that are really tall and long. And I know people are like, wait, well, Craig, you're a bigger corner. And it's like, yeah, I know. That's why I feel this way. It's harder to cover, especially in open field, when your change of direction isn't that great. And when you add on top of that, not being as much of an athlete, I feel like you can get away with that a lot in college, especially with the wide hashes and things like that. And you can make some plays, but in the NFL, everything is so precise. You don't have a lot of time to make up for that. The quarterbacks, their arms are stronger. The quarterbacks are much more decisive, unless you, especially if you're not the best athlete out there, unless you have it like from the mental perspective extremely well, it's going to be hard for you to play and be like consistently successful. So when I look at a guy like Kyle Hamilton and how long he is, pause, how long he is, like his legs and everything like that, that's going to hurt his change of direction. Where do I have to play him in a very specific scheme? Can he be a legit single high guy? You know, do I have to play him in a box? Do I have to play him almost like a linebacker? Because I know once I get him out there in the open field against guys that have better change of direction, his athleticism isn't A1. There could be some issues. Now, my pushback on him isn't necessarily should he be drafted. You know, I just don't know. People are talking about right now. I mean, his over-under started around 6.5. To me, he is not the elite talent.
Earlier than that, some people are talking about number two to Detroit.
Right, and I don't think he has, especially with how he tested and trying to figure out how that translates to the NFL, some of the movement skills and things like that, how well does that translate to the NFL? I have question marks, much more question marks than him, you know, being able to go at 6.5, you know, with the over under. Me personally, I would set it more at 34.5. And if you're talking about Kyle Hamilton in that range, which is who he is and some question marks that I have, then from there, I get it. But it's all going to be determined on how to use him. And this isn't the old days where you could just have these bigger safeties that cover, you know, area, and they can go around and hit people and things like that. You will be left out there to have to legitimately guard receivers now, unless a team just is like, oh, well, we're going to always hide them.
That's a great point about the coverage aspect of, and that's a huge part of my rankings in this. And remember, we are ranking this for the San Francisco 49ers, because this is Locked On 49ers podcast. This isn't just a generic ranking here. We're ranking them as if any of these players fell to the 49ers or they were moving up to get some of these guys. So we'll hash that out and we'll get our top safeties next. How about Built Bar, though? The top protein bar on the market, no doubt. No doubt whatsoever. By the way, Croc, I don't like him talking bad about guys who are 6'4", 220, you know, because we got speed too. It might be long speed, might be build-up speed, but you know what keeps me lean, keeps me fast? It's eating things like Built Bars instead of candy bars, right? It's a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, except instead of 250, 300 calories per bar, you're getting 130 calories per bar with Built Bars. Only 4 grams of sugar, only 4 grams of net carbs, and 17 grams of protein to keep you satisfied. That's what you're looking for. You want the low-calorie, high-protein treat. So replace all those terrible snacks for you in all of your hiding place and replace those with Built Bars, and you can get a special deal at Built Bars. But really, the big important thing with Built Bars this week is that peanut butter is back. They've had peanut butter brownie for a while, but the straight up peanut butter flavor is my favorite. It is the GOAT Built Bar flavor, and they have it back in stock at built.com. So go do yourself a favor, get the peanut butter bars, or get a mixed box, or build your own box of Built Bars at built.com and use promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your order. That is promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. You've talked me into it. Lewis Cine, number one on our Locked On 49ers board. What's exciting is he could actually get there, unlike Kyle Hamilton, toward the second round to a place where the 49ers might be able to make that pick. So Lewis Cine one, Kyle Hamilton two, Dax Hill three for me. And I think you would agree with me that Dax Hill is the next in line, Croc.
Dax Hill, I love him. But if you're talking about for the 49ers, he's kind of a Jimmy Ward clone. He's like a lot like Jimmy Ward. So, you know, Jimmy Ward, I feel like he's just not going anywhere. I think he's going to be a free agent after this year, but I assume that he's going to stay around a few more years longer. I mean, I think he's going to be a 49er for life.
No, I don't disagree with that, but is that a bad thing? Why not have two Jimmy Wards? Interchangeable, go cover the slot, defend the run, and defend the deep half or the deep middle of the field too. That's not a bad thing to have two Jimmy Wards. And he is a free agent, so just in case, you would have that player who could come down and do all those things. So I don't have a problem with that, which brings me to why my rankings are the way they are, is because, you know, old school box safeties need not apply. The 49ers already have Talanoa Hufanga too. So if you can't cover, whether it's man-to-man or zone or have range in the deep part of the field and interchange with the strong safety and the free safety, then I'm not interested.
Well, yeah, and I, that's where I lean too. And I do. I would love to have two guys that are pure coverage guys. It's just, I think from the Daxon Hill, I just haven't seen enough of him in too high. So there's just a little bit more, you know, trying to project it. Like, what does it look like too high, single high, those type of things that 49ers might ask him to do. But as a pure, like, just coverage guy who will, you know, can play safety as well, I think he's excellent. Again, another guy that ran in the 4.3s, excellent speed. And watching him on film and how much he trusts his coverage skills, it is lights out. It's lights out. I mean, his ability to turn around with guys, defend the slot fades, which the 49ers have had issues with. If you want to look at it like this too, because you kind of killed two birds with one stone, you have Jimmy Ward, and we know the versatility he has. And then you look at a guy like Daxon Hill, and you say, you know what? We don't have a legit slot right now. We have guys that we kind of like, but you know what? Daxon Hill, you can play safety for us. You can come down. You can play in the nickel, or we can have Jimmy Ward do those things. Runs with receivers extremely well. He's a legit nickel, but he's listed as a safety. I mean, playmaker guy. I mean, I was watching, there have been a couple of Michigan guys I watched before I even got to Daxon Hill. One was Vincent Gray, cornerback. Another one was David Ajabo. And each time, I had to stop and I recorded clips and I would post something of what Daxon Hill is doing because I was that impressed with his game. So that kind of tells you a little bit how much I like him. And I like him more than Kyle Hamilton, but I don't think I'm supposed to like him more than Kyle Hamilton. So I have Kyle Hamilton over him. So it's almost like I just don't have the balls to like make that move. But he's just, if you're talking about preference, I just prefer him to Hamilton. And I like Hamilton, but I'm just not really big on like those big, massive defensive backs.
I think both Hill and Cine aren't going high enough in most mock drafts. And maybe it's just because that, you know, the safety position is not as highly valued in the league. And maybe those mock drafters are hearing the right stuff and those guys aren't going to go high. But I have a feeling those three safeties are going to go in the first round. I think where we're going to fight here is on safety 4, 5, 6, this area, because I think this is the most likely area of one of these players could fall toward the 49ers at 61. And my four, the more I watch him, I went back and watched more today because I wanted to make sure. And I'm all about it. Jalen Petrie is number four for me. And I love this dude. And I'd be super excited. I think he fits what the 49ers could use there. He can play the slot. He can defend the run. He can rush the passer. What he gets, there's something that he has that some people don't have. And it's really good for a safety to have is just understanding the geometry of a football field, right? Having that innate sense to know that this runner is running at this angle. I've got to take my angle here to cut him off. And instead of chasing him around, you know, the long way and then, you know, maybe missing a tackle or missing a play. So Jalen Petrie, I think, is super smart. He did not play enough or hardly at all in deep coverage. So it's hard to evaluate that. But he's so twitchy as an athlete. You have to project it. But I think he could do that and seeing some of these other strong safety types. You do see them in deep in the deep part of the field. And they're not that great at it anyway. So I fully believe that Jalen Petrie could be at least pretty darn good at it, if not great at it, because of his athleticism and his football IQ. So to me, it's Jalen Petrie at safety 4, and I would love for the 49ers to be able to grab him at 61.
Almost like Daxton Hill. I mean, he played exclusively in that nickel spot. And it was more – I feel like it was more star than nickel, even though it's kind of like the same position. But they had him do a lot more things than what I felt like Hill did. Like, Daxton Hill was like a nickel and played a lot of coverage. Where Jalen Petrie, I mean, if he's to the backside of a play, they'd have him blitz off the edge, or they'd have him rush the passer a ton or try to chase down runs from the backside. I thought he played extremely well around the line of scrimmage and was just making plays, tackles for losses. I thought in space as a nickel, it was solid. I think they made his job a little easy for him. So I don't know. That's another one of those things. Like, you know, how does that translate to the NFL? Because a lot of it was match. So it's like, all right, you're going to kind of open up this way. And if this guy comes in, then you just catch him and you run with him. But if he goes this way, then you can pass him off and you kind of play in space and look and see what comes towards you. So, again, like you said, there is a lot more projecting with him as more of a two high or single high safety. But we have seen some of that from guys in recent years. You know, we talked about Javon Holland. You know, Holland was essentially that at Oregon, kind of just this nickel star type guy, never came off the field. You know, matter of fact, he reminded me a ton of Jaquiski Tartt. That's what I saw in kind of Holland, like, just coming down, making tackles for losses, like flying around, but can play in space. And, you know, I saw some of that, like maybe that's what Petrie is. And you just have to just imagine what it's going to look like. Or just look at Javon Holland and be like, all right, well, if we could teach Javon Holland to play as a pure safety for the Miami Dolphins, then you know what? We could do that for Petrie as well.
Are you okay? Are you going to let me put the card up there with Jalen Petrie at safety 4? Or are you going to fight for somebody else here? Because I have a feeling I know what name you want next. And I watched more of them today back to back. And I'm a little bit lower on some of the box safety, some of the strong safety types, and Jaquan Brisker is a name that I know you like a lot. And yeah. Would you fight for Brisker to be 4 over Petrie, or do you have another name? Or are you okay with Petrie?
No, I can go with Petrie. You know, this is us, you know, kind of working, and there's going to be some give and take. And I see the value in Petrie. I just view him more as like, okay, I haven't seen this other aspect of his game where I have seen it with Brisker, but just from the ability of a guy, I can agree with you on Petrie at safety 4.
And I'm kind of swinging for the fences on the Petrie type of player. And to be honest with you, he kind of plays a lot like Jamal Adams. And I love Jamal Adams in college coming into the league. Shadow 49ers pick very high. And yeah. But I think Buda Baker,
people are going to think of that as a negative, and it's right. Not. Like, Jamal Adams has been Pro Bowl, All Pro. Those, you know, I think ideally what you're looking for is Jamal Adams with better coverage skills. And obviously, right. Like, he's not that prospect. I think Adams ran like 4.3 or something like that, like something crazy. Like, he ran well. I mean, he was a top 5 prospect easily. I mean, there was no doubt about it. Petrie isn't quite that, but he fits kind of that mold of doing those type of things. I talked about blitzing him off the edge. I mean, I feel like that's what Jamal Adams has made his niche on, just the timing of things, sniffing out run plays, you know, being a playmaker with that part of his game. And Petrie, maybe not to the extent of Adams, but also maybe you get a little bit more in coverage than you do with Adams. So, I can see that.
I think Buda Baker ultimately would be my comp, though, for Petrie. So kind of a cross between, you know, Jamal Adams.
I think Daxton Hill is more Buda Baker.
You think so? Okay.
Yeah.
How about, so Brisker 5 then? We go with Jaquan Brisker at 5. The one, the tiebreaker really for
me.
Do
you like Nick Cross?
You like Nick Cross more than Brisker now?
Well, no, I'm saying you do, don't you?
Oh. No, I like Nick Cross, but I like Brisker more. Brisker's a little bit more complete. I think Cross brings a little bit more wow with some big thump plays and has that 4-3 speed. And when you see him utilize that straight line speed, you can really see it. But when he has to flip his hips and drop back in coverage, like when he's catching a receiver who's coming at him, that I don't like that necessarily much. And he's trying to knock people out all the time and leading with his shoulder. And it makes for some nice hits, but I think he'll get some penalties in the pros, and we'll probably miss some tackles in the pros as well because he never wraps up. He's a rocked up dude. He actually reminds me a little bit of Dante Whitner. Because remember, Dante Whitner came out of the draft as like physical, strong safety, would pop you, ran 4.3s. But I think Whitner, as good of a player as he was and would have value this day and age in the NFL, would be less valuable now than he was 10 years ago when he was playing, right? So I kind of see some of that in Nick Cross, which means he's a good prospect, but I'm a little bit worried about him in coverage, even though you see it more than with Petrie. That's why the projection of Petrie I like, just because the athleticism, I think he'll be better at it. There was one Petrie play, by the way, unfortunately, it's against like Texas State or something, you know, some like in-state rival that wasn't a powerhouse school or anything. But he did this. He was starting off in the slot, and he rotated to the deep half of the field, and they tried him with a post across his face, and he saw it, read it, jumped it, and that was one of his interceptions, was on a play where he's actually deep in coverage, which is something I really saw. You didn't see enough of it, but I saw a little bit of it. And then when I'm watching Nick Cross, you don't see a lot of that, and he's kind of late sometimes. And then Brisker, the one that I really saw, the last tape I watched of him was against Ohio State. And look, that's a powerhouse offense with a lot of good receivers. And if you watch Brisker just against Ohio State, you would not draft him high. You would not draft him probably. He got beat over the top, covering the deep half against Olave, got him for a touchdown. And I think, I don't know if it was Olave or Garrett Wilson, somebody caught a screen pass, and he comes flying upfield, and he's really good against screens, and he's good coming up and hitting people, but he got juked out of his shoes. And then the rest of the game, because this is what's hard for safeties, and this is why I value your opinion with safeties. You can watch an entire game of a safety, and maybe they're not involved that much, right? And I think the only tackle he made in that entire game against Ohio State was a really nice play. It was a hustle play where there was a big run on the opposite side of the field, and he came all the way across and caught the guy because he's athletic too, and saved a touchdown. So it was a good play, but I think that might have been the only tackle he made in the entire game. It wasn't really a great tape for Brisker, even though you got to see some athleticism. You got to see him come up and hit a little bit, and you could see some range, but he's not so great in coverage, which is why I put Petrie over, because I can project Petrie would be at least okay in coverage, but there's potential he'd be like awesome.
Right. I like that, and I hear that. I'm not sure if I've watched the Ohio State film. I got to go back. And I've watched Ohio State like so many times, I feel like, on film. But watching their receivers and things like that, I can't remember exactly who I watched them against. But I know watching Brisker, there were some things that jumped out immediately to me. Just sometimes when he trusts what he's seeing with his eyes from a coverage ability. I mean, he closes well, works to make a play on the ball. There was one time where he gave up a catch. But I'm really big on – just as much as I am on, you know, guys breaking up passes and things like that, when you're looking at the guys to evaluate them, you want to see, is he going to be in position to make plays? And I thought I saw a lot of that with him, as well as coming downhill, running full speed into guys, trying to make tackles, you know, in there in the open space, things like that. So, again, not safety 1, 2, 3, or 4 in our rankings now, but a guy where if he's at 61, you like him more than what you have at safety now, aside from Jimmy Ward.
Yeah, and I think he'd just be a rock solid safety. He's a leader too, by all accounts, and you can even see him on the field. He's like directing traffic, telling guys where to go. So I think that's really important for a player like that. You know, he's sort of a leader in the secondary as well. And I think we're starting to get a little bit more likely that one of these guys is going to be there at 61. And I might put real that.
But you also see him everywhere. Like, you know, we're talking about with Petrie and some of these other guys, like, okay, I want to see this, but I didn't see Daxton Hill. But with Brisker, I mean, you see him single high, you see him two high, you see him in the box, you see him at linebacker. I mean, he played all over the field. You get to see like the full range of versatility that he has.
Yeah, absolutely. You see Brisker everywhere. It makes you feel better. Just a pretty clean evaluation across the board. And he's athletic and you see all those things. Prototype, looks the part, and, you know, a smart player. Then I would probably put a line there. I don't know if I would draft any of the other safeties at 61, even though I like some of them. I would press my luck and hope they were still there in round three, you know, 93 area. And I'd probably put Nick Cross next over Brian Cook. I don't know how much you've watched of Brian Cook, but I kept wanting to watch other players like Sauce Gardner with Jungle Time. It was kind of like the thing you were talking about earlier when you're when you're watching Michigan. And I was like, oh, my God, Sauce Gardner. He should be like his nickname should be Spider. He's just so long and skinny with these long arms. And he's so good. And he would jump off every time. But I was not impressed at all with Brian Cook. I didn't see anything from him that made me really excited about him. He's big, sort of an old school with strong safety. But I didn't look super athletic. He didn't look great in coverage. He wasn't really in on a lot of plays. He was kind of like the second. He was like, okay, being the second or third guy there sometimes. And the very worst part about it all, you're the, look, you're Dr. Drip. You're the swag guy here. Brian Cook, worst swag of any prospect. Maybe just take him off the board completely. Like the undershirt that's sticking out. And then like, you can see the back of his pads, you know, the back pad is like his jersey's up above that. So you see that flap hanging out and you can't even read the number six on his back. And it like makes him look even like kind of slower and bigger and lumbering. He's got size and you know,
it's
like,
not bad. I'm looking at the pictures now. It's not bad.
You see him in motion too. You're like, what is this guy? Did they just pull him off the street or something? They're like, hey, put this uniform on and run the game.
He does look big for some reason, but yeah. Were you able to catch anything from Kobe Bryant?
Yeah, that's the thing. Is like I liked the corners more. I liked Kobe Bryant more, and I liked especially Sauce Gardner more than Brian Cook. And obviously Sauce Gardner is going to be a top 10 pick. I think at the very least, but and yeah, Kobe Bryant, I saw him make some plays too, and I liked him. I think if he's there on day three, I think he'd be a nice little pick. But I was really trying to find another safety prospect to be in there, and I was underwhelmed by Brian Cook, and I was excited to watch him because of his size and because a lot of people have him really highly ranked. I think it might be Dane Brugler of The Athletic. One of those guys has him as the number two safety after Kyle Hamilton, and I was like, okay, I'm excited to watch this guy, and I was pretty disappointed after watching him, but especially with through the lens that we were talking about, you got to be able to cover. You got to be able to match up with tight ends and running backs at the very least. But man, you're going to be seeing wide receivers, and you better be good in coverage. And he kind of bit on play action too much. So yeah, old school box safety ish for me. And even though the 49ers need a quote unquote strong safety, I'm looking at more of someone who can interchange with free safety than I'm looking at someone who's in the box, because you already have a guy that can play box safety if that's what you're looking for in Talanoa Hufanga. So I'm looking for something different.
Well, this is what I'll do, man. I'm about to go work out right now. And during my workout, I'll see if I can find the YouTubes where it's like Brian Cook verse, and you can find like a whole game. And I'll see if I can take any notes from there. And if I can't, you know, my laptop is down right now. So tomorrow I get the new laptop in. I'll load up some All-22 and see what he's talking about.
The next one I'm going to put up there, well, in the rankings here is Kirby Joseph. In fact, I would have Kirby Joseph ahead of Cook, but I'd have them both pretty low. So I kind of like, it's weird because my rankings are like, and there's some more guys I'm going to watch here to maybe filter them in. But I think Kirby Joseph would be more of a pick 105, maybe even a fourth round pick for me. And he's got his hands on a lot of footballs, which I like. He's got ball skills, long arms. He's 6'1", 200 pounds, looks the part. He just lacks a little bit of twitch, a little bit of explosive, dynamic, athletic ability that I would want. And so for that reason, I'd be a little bit worried about him in center field, even though he's a smart player and has really good ball skills and comes up with the interception. He goes up and he eye points it. And I love seeing that. Like, he's going to get interceptions in the NFL. But I think there was something missing. He was just a tick slower than I wanted him to be able to say, oh, this guy could be the next Jesse Bates or whatever, you know, Byard or something like that. I think he'd be a really good player, but I would say definitely not at 61 and maybe in that 105 range. I would be cool with it. And if you fell to the fourth, then I start to feel really good about Kirby Joseph, because I think he could play, you know, either safety spot. And I would probably have him just ahead of Brian Cook in that same range. So we'll
also watch Verone McKinley from Oregon. Watch him against Ohio State and tell me what you think.
Okay, so I have that. Okay, so I'm going to go back to back, because the last one I just watched was Brisker versus Ohio State. I'm going to watch Verone McKinley now versus Ohio State. We'll see if Verone McKinley can jump Brian Cook and Kirby Joseph on my list. That'll be interesting.
Or even Brisker. We'll see. He doesn't have the athleticism, though, those guys. So. That's the issue.
Like, that's where you find your – so if, like, you're in the market for a safety and you're picking, say, where the Jets are at 10, it's like, dude, trade down and get Lewis Cine. Why would you draft Kyle Hamilton there if you like him better? Or for the 49ers, why would you draft a safety at 61 if you got this guy, Verone McKinley, you think you can get in the fourth round and your confidence is going to be there? And
fifth,
you have him
sixth round. Might be their sixth round, you know.
He didn't run well, and he's not big, so he might be there very late. Maybe that's the way the 49ers should attack this thing. And I think there is an opportunity for some safeties to slide a little bit just because positional value. Seems like everyone has pretty good safeties in the league, even though safeties more and more is put on their plate, I think, every year. So they're kind of becoming more valuable, and there's more safeties on the field. But for some reason, their value still hasn't risen to the point that maybe it should be, or maybe they're valued correctly. I don't know.
Right.
All right, we've gone too long on this one, so we've got to stop it there. More on late round prospects. We've got some questions out there on Twitter about late round prospects. We are going to cover more of those position groups and later in the day three zone, rounds 4, 5, 6, and 7. And I think I've got my guy too, Croc, that I'm going to pick for Mr. Irrelevant for the 49ers all the way down to pick 262. More on all of that in the coming 10 days or so as we get ready for the 2022 NFL Draft. Thanks for making us your first listen. Find Croc doing Locked On NFL Draft for your second listen. I'm doing the Peacock and Williamson NFL show. Croc and I back tomorrow right here, Locked On 49ers.